How great for me to be here today. Thank you. You called me and Frank to be Moses to you this morning. And now, as I look out at you, I'm aware that you are Moses. So welcome, Moses. In 1313, before the Common Era, God called a young man in Egypt. His name meant taken out of the water, and we called him Moses. And he asked him to free Israelite people who were, at that time, enslaved in Egypt. You probably remember the story, how Moses' mother had hid him in a basket and put him in the river because the Egyptian pharaoh was going to kill all the baby boys of the people of Israel. Moses was found by an Egyptian princess and grew up as royalty. But as Moses grew, he realized he too was an Israelite and so had great compassion on the Israelite slaves. So Moses risked coming out as an Israelite. He heard God's call. Go down, Moses, and tell old Pharaoh to let my people go. And we know after a long process, the people were led out from slavery and found new life in their promised land. Then, in about 30, after the Common Era, God called Jesus to be a new Moses, to teach people how to be children of God and not children of the Roman government. And he risked his life for that message. In 1849, God spoke to a woman who often took time to speak with God, actually. She was enslaved in Maryland. Her name is Harriet Tubman. And she was shown how to escape from slavery using a system called the Underground Railroad. Then, after she did that, she learned how to lead about 300 people out of slavery by the same system. She became known as the Moses of her people. She risked being caught by the slave catchers. So if they caught her, they would send her back to her master, where she would be treated so poorly, really, physically hurt, mentally hurt. But she kept leading people out, even after there was a $40,000 bounty, can you imagine that, in 1849, was placed on her capture. So you might look at the worship guide today. Why is her picture there? Why is she telling us about dreams and dreamers? And soon her picture will be on a $20 bill. So why is Harriet Tubman's picture on our worship this morning? On May 20th, 2012, I hope you all recognize that date, because you wrote this. Whereas our principles include the inherent worth and dignity of every person, as well as justice, equity, and compassion in human relations, whereas our congregational mission includes encouraging social action in the name of liberty and justice, therefore be it resolved that the James Reeb Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Madison, Wisconsin, stands in support of the 11 by 15 campaign for safer, healthier communities, which is a project of Wisdom statewide interfaith social justice organization. Therefore, also, be it resolved. That support can include, you've got many things there that it's going to include, and participation of our members in calls to action as part of the broader mission of the Standing on the Side of Love campaign of the Unitarian Universalist Association, adopted May 20th, 2012. So James Reeb congregation answers the call to be Moses. Moses, the affiliate of Wisdom in Madison, addresses a new slavery, the prison system of the state of Wisconsin. Moses is the acronym of Moses Organizing and Strength, Equality and Solidarity. Are we called to risk? Frank, are you called to risk?
Every day. Good morning. Risk. And speaking of risk, I had to evaluate my life and evaluate my past and my future. Risk for me is something that we are all called to do. We all live in risk, but we also live in purpose. A lot of us don't live up to our risk level and our purpose level. Me personally, I'm married with kids. I take a risk every day that I leave out my house. I have a son, two girls, and one on the way. I take a risk every day that I send them out to school, to daycare, and to live their life. I'm taking a risk by leaving my family home and I'm not there. It's a risk. But a more important risk is the risk to make a change in our community. That is the risk that we are called to do. Why? Because we're a community. We're a faith-based spiritual community where risk is something that we are called to do. Spiritually, we have faith. But there are a lot of times where me personally, I don't walk in the true envelope of my faith. Why? Because I question. Why? Because I ignore. Why? Because I'm not obedient. I'm not diligent. Why? Because I'm human. But even with that humanity, I know that I have a level of expectation that has been put on me as a man, as a black man, as a father, a husband, a brother, as a community leader, as an activist. It is my purpose to make sure that I accept my risk and go out and fight. Fight for people's rights. Fight for my rights. Fight for what's going on in this, as Sister Jones so eloquently put it, this fight that we're fighting with the criminal justice system. It is a risk. Why? Because if we don't do it, the system would most definitely get worse. But if we go out there, for a lot of us, we put a target on our back. It's a risk. I am currently dealing with the criminal justice system in a way that I put myself at risk every day. But guess what? My purpose and my faith in life supersedes anything and every piece of risk that I have to deal with. Because I know as I go out there and fight, I am giving voice to people who may not have a voice. Those who are scared to put forth their voice. Those who are scared to stand up and say, stop it. We are not going to tolerate it. We're not going to accept this no more. This is our community. This is a love, wholesome, welcoming community. We have to take the risk to make sure that when we go out there, we make sure that that is a wholesome, loving, welcoming community. That is the risk we take And when we don't stand up, when we don't do what we need to do, when we don't try to protect those who don't have their voice, we don't accept our risk. We all are called to some level of risk. My question to you, are each and every one of you, are you accepting your risk? Because what we do in life when we wake up in the morning, this is the risk that we're all called to do. And this is the risk that we're all called for.
And I'm especially today missing Joan Kemble. She told me the last time I was here that she wouldn't be here. But I'm thinking of her daughter, Rebecca, our city councilor, who has risked when she went to Standing Rock and is now facing a charge of a felony for representing us. Wow. I don't want to go into all that sadness, but it is a sadness. And then as Frank said, what we have to look at, what do we have to risk? You talk about being the beloved community. Your sign out front says, Black Lives Matter. You're risking your position here, my hometown, Madison. I grew up not a mile from here, so I understand what that means too. Harriet Tubman said, I freed 1,000 slaves. I could have freed 1,000 more if only they knew they were slaves. What about us? We can be enslaved. We are enslaved by the values sometimes of our culture. Greed, a desire to be in control. I think many of us here are white people. I think we know about wanting to be in control, to be the greatest. And all of us want to have pleasure in some way. So are we not enslaved in this state of Wisconsin that practices punishment instead of healing for people who have done something wrong to the community? The state seems to believe that punishment will cure addiction. Seems to believe that long punishment with long supervision will change a person who has done violence to the community, can somehow restore the community. And longer punishment is even better. 17-year-olds will overcome poor judgment if they are locked with adults who have mistakes. Our state practices that. People with mental illness could be controlled by putting them in solitary confinement. Our state practices that. So we're enslaved. We're in a prison. Our country wants to put up walls so people can't get in. There was a great cartoon in the paper a couple weeks ago. I'm going to put up a wall on this side of my yard because I don't like those people. Oh, well, maybe I'll put up a fence on this side of my yard because, oh, those people aren't any good. Let's put a wall over here. And let's keep these people out, too. They have bad dogs. And pretty soon, who's in the prison? Who's not able to get over the wall? So I'm enslaved by my desire to be recognized for having the best answer to a problem. Anybody else have that problem? I am enslaved by a system that gives privilege or punishment based on this very strange concept that got invented in the, I think it's the 1500s, called race. It didn't exist before then. And can I trust? When do I trust and listen to those who have spent time in our criminal justice system? do I forever call them ex-cons or felons? Many are calling themselves now EXPO, ex-prisoners organizing. We must risk learning from that group of people. Wow, that's something to risk. Harriet Tubman used spirituals as coded messages, warning fellow travelers of danger or a signal to clear a path. Some of those songs, I don't know, we are not experts in them, I guess, but Steal Away, Steal Away, Steal. Does anybody know that song? I'm not a singer. There's one, Steal Away to Jesus, or Wait in the Water. Wait in the water, children. Wait in the water. God's gonna trouble. And they did. They waited in the water. Or then there was another one. I don't even know how this one goes, but the words are, I will meet you in the morning in the sweet by and by and exchange the old cross for a crown. There will be no disappointments and nobody shall die in that land when the life sun goes down. So what message was she giving to the slaves? We'll meet you in the morning. So there's a code song in our gray hymnal, too. When Israel was in Egypt's land, and that's the place, of course, where the Israelites were enslaved, and Harriet would sometimes sing it very fast to let the people know that the slave hunters were coming, or very slow, to let them know they might have to wait another day before they could leave. So I ask us, what or who can call us out of our slavery? The song says, go down, Moses, tell old Pharaoh to let my people go. This week, Thursday, we, all of us all, are being called to go up, Moses. Go up to the Capitol and tell, Oh, you got it, you got it, you got it. It kind of goes with, you know, we're not supposed to talk politics in a place like this. But that name really fits the rhythm of the song. Go up, go tell, go tell. To let my people go. And what will we risk as we go to speak to our legislators? There's a group I'm sure you know, Young Gifted in Black, and they give a clue when they quote the words of Assata Shakur. She says, it is our duty to fight for our freedom. That's because we're locked up, you know. It is our duty to fight for our freedom. It is our duty to win. We must love and protect one another. We have nothing to lose but our chains. And what calls you, Frank, to be free?
For me, and in conclusion, I want to say this. Risk frees me. Why? Because I know that when I go forward, I do it with a purpose. A lot of people, if you talk to them about risk, and think about your own mind. What was the first thing that came to your mind? Risk. A lot of people think that it's something where you're jeopardizing something or something bad. Risk isn't necessarily bad. It's good. And think about that. When you step outside, when you're dealing with someone you've ever seen before, when you go to stick out your hand and say hi, you're taking a risk. When you welcome someone into your home, into your neighborhood, when you stand up for somebody, you're taking a risk. When you step out of this building today, I ask you personally, accept a challenge to take a risk. Do something you haven't done before. Live your life like you haven't lived it before. Take a risk. A lot of times we are complacent and happy to be in our position, in our place, in our spot. We're happy. Don't ruffle my feathers. Leave me alone. I'm over here. You can be over here. We have to take a risk. And as we take a risk, guess what? It gets easier. And with that risk, as Joan says, it gives us freedom. It truly gives us freedom. On March 30th, as we go up to the Capitol, we're going to go up there. We're going to speak our piece. We're going to let them know what we stand on. These are our principles. These are our purposes. This is what we need to change in our community. But there's a risk. But guess what? It's all worth it. Why? Because each and every one of you are worth it. Everybody that we're trying to help out is worth it. So my challenge is, when you leave here today, accept the challenge or risk. Find your purpose in life, but take a risk. Not to jeopardize what you have, but to help somebody else to be better, to do better, and to see a better future. That's my personal challenge to each and every one of you.
Can I add a little bit?
Please.
Frank. And you can stay here.
Okay.
So I think one, because I'm the chair of the Religious Leader Caucus, one of the things that we're challenging the clergy especially to think about, because it's a way that they can speak to all of us, is how to be communities where people who might be returning from the prison system can be welcomed. What I experience here at James Reeb is that loving community that welcomes all. You especially can be a welcoming community, because there are many people trying to re-enter from that very debilitating system that we've set in place, the prisons. And they need us. They need you so that they can feel welcome and that they can be whole.